Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
Kim on a whim.
Well, the latest numbers I've seen were that just over 40% of adults in the United States were considered to be obese. And that was from August of 2021 to August of 2023. So I'm not sure where it stands now.
What's the definition? Do you know?
Yes. Obesity is defined as having a body mass index, or BMI as you often hear it, of 30 or more. Now, here's why that's so important. The International Committee of Scientists have now proposed a change in the way that we define obesity. They feel like that looking strictly at BMI, again, body mass index, which is
like your height divided by your weight.
And that's something where you can step on a scale and a lot of these scales to now tell you your BMI. They feel like that's not balanced enough. I actually agree with that, because that's not looking at where the fat's coming from. So, or like if you're a football player and you're working out hard in the gym and you have a lot of muscle, but you're also just like a bigger guy. That can also make it seem like you're not as healthy as you actually
what's
are.
What's their motive? Like, here's my question about that. What is their motive? Is their motive truly that they don't think it's a fair representation of your health? Or is their motive the fact that weight bias is real, as that promo we run over and over and over ad nauseum on this radio station says all the time, and they want to make people feel better about themselves even if they're gross obese, even if they're grossly overweight? What's their motivation? Do we know?
I don't know, but that's a really good question.
I don't know.
You're right. There is that at play where people say you can't fat shame and all. And I'm not agreeing with someone fat shaming, but I also don't think that people who are 400 pounds and on social media saying, you know, love your body and you should love me the way I am. I don't agree with that, because you're promoting an unhealthy and, quite frankly, dangerous lifestyle. I mean, your organs at some point, these shows where it's like my 600 pound life or whatever it's called, you can't even get out of bed. I mean, at some point, your organs are just going to say, I'm out. I'm done. I can't handle this. So what this commission instead wants to do is they say that the excess body fat that somebody has should be instead measured by a person's, well, you would factor in BMI, but you would also measure a person's waist circumference, waist to hip ratio, or waist to height ratio.
How about bones? Because I always tell people, hey, I'm just big boned.
Yeah, well, don't we all love using that excuse?
Hey, I'm not fat, I'm just big boned, right? That's what I say all the time. So here's I think that's great. I want to hear more about how they're going to do those three factors. But, like, for example, I'll just tell, I weigh about 230 pounds, roughly. But if I go to the doctor and they look at one of those insurance company weight charts that tell me for 5 feet, 10 and a half inches, how much I should weigh, it says 178 pounds.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Here's what you need to understand. I haven't been below 200 pounds since high school. I played football as a high school senior at like 185 pounds, which is probably the closest I've been to 178. And I put on a lot of muscle in the 4 or 5 years after that. And I haven't been below 200 in years. So I don't know what they're talking about. I would look like I would look like I was sick if I was 178
well,
pounds.
Well, that's also the other thing is I think a lot of people are having issues when they are doing these little exams that they have to do for insurance or something like that. It's coming back saying that they're considered obese.
You're at risk.
And that's just not an accurate depiction. There's something else that the commission wants to do, and that would be incorporating two new categories of obesity based on what they say is an objective measure of the illness. So listen to this video.
The new definition consists of two categories, preclinical obesity and clinical obesity. Patients with preclinical obesity may have a higher BMI and some extra body fat while maintaining normal organ function. They may also have an increased risk for diseases like type 2 diabetes, heart problems, and certain cancers.
They just may need some counseling on how to live a healthy life, don't gain any more body weight, eat healthy, become physically active, and be monitored.
Patients with clinical obesity may exhibit shortness of breath, aching knees and hips, swelling in the legs, urinary incontinence, headaches, and obesity-induced heart failure.
What they're saying is that this allows for more personalized care. If you break it into these categories, if you measure obesity not just on BMI, but on your, you know, if you're measuring around your waist and your arms and things like that, someone can get a better idea of where you're truly at. I think that's a good, I go back to that question that you asked about, okay, well, what's their true motivation? You're right, because maybe this is some way that they can sit here and say, like, don't feel bad, you're not really obese, you're fine. But, I mean, you're still hearing them say that preclinical obesity or whatever, clinical obesity and preclinical obesity, I mean, you're still being told, like, hey, there's a problem.
Hey, here's the line.
Put
if
the
you need
down.
A crane to help you get out of bed, you're obese.
That's fair.
You're too fat, and that's not healthy. And everybody knows if they're like, I probably need to lose 20 pounds. I understand that. Everybody knows roughly what weight they feel they're best at.
Yeah, right? I should probably lose that myself as well.
Well, it's true.
But really.
It's for everyone kind of has an idea where they would like to be, whether they're there or not. But at the end of the day, there are offensive linemen. I saw one in that game the other night, college game. This guy must have weighed 375 pounds. He was huge. He was a defensive tackle. It was that college game I watched the other night. And you know that man can run a 40-yard dash faster than I ever could at my fastest time in high school when I weighed 185 pounds. He weighs almost 400 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So some people are just natural athletes, and they're designed to carry that extra weight. Now, I'm not saying he's not going to blow up after he's not playing football anymore. I'm just saying for right now, there have to be some other reasonable standards for that. And I'm glad to see that they're adjusting it if it's for the right motivation.
Mm-hmm. I wonder what RFK Jr. would think about this. There was a huge win yesterday.
Buff.
He is so buff. And the fact that I know that this isn't specific to obesity, but the whole, you know, red dye that the FDA banned, although they don't technically, these companies don't have to get it out of their food until 2027.
Ooh,
so it's
really?
Not like all of a sudden it's going to be poof out of our food and drinks and everything. But that's a huge deal. And I think that there are so many things in our food that that cause people to gain weight. Now, obviously, you just overeating is the biggest problem, but I truly do believe that hormonal imbalances, there's so many factors that play into why somebody feels like they're consistently working out, they're overall, they're eating healthy, and they feel like they're kind of plateauing, and they just can't seem to lose the weight. Their body is hanging on to that fat. There's something else often at play. And I think so much of this junk that's in our food is partially to blame for that. But partially to blame for that.
Probably.
So this is just a recommendation, by the way. So I don't fully understand if this is going to be what they do moving forward. Like if you go to the doctor's office and they have you step on a scale like they typically would to get your weight, and I'm assuming they look at BMI, but now are they also going to start doing the whole measurement thing? Or if you're looking for life insurance, you know how sometimes they'll send a person over and they ask you questions about your lifestyle and yada, yada, yada. Are they going to start measuring you? Maybe that's what's to come.
Oh, I'm sure they've got charts as they look at those things for insurance companies. No, I think you're right. That could be used against you. It absolutely could. I'll just tell you. I'll give you a little insight as somebody who used to be in the securities industry and sell insurance. Right. When they just call you up, you're going to buy an insurance policy, and they'll tell you, hey, somebody's going to call you up, and they're going to ask you a few questions from the insurance company.
Are you talking specifically about life insurance?
Life insurance,
I thought they sent people to your home.
Well, but sometimes if it's not like a super huge policy, they'll just call you up and ask you a few questions,
okay.
Right? They do usually send somebody over to take a blood sample, right? I know what you're talking about. But in this case, if it's a big enough policy, they also call you up and ask you additional questions. And I didn't fully explain to my client what you should say and what you shouldn't say when they call, because when they call, they ask him if he did any extreme sports. And he said, well, no, but they're like, but what? Well, once a year, I go with some buddies, and we go to the base camp of Mount Kilimanjaro or some mountain somewhere, right? Well, to the insurance policy, like, all these alarm bells are going off, and they rejected him for the policy because they believed that he lived a risky lifestyle. Like, if you bungee jump when you're on vacation, in New Guinea, don't mention that to the insurance adjuster when they call to interview you for your policy, because they're going to assume you live a risky lifestyle.
But what's the...
They're tuned into that
stuff. And I know that, so I guess the name of the game is lie, which
Well,
is
not
awful,
lie,
but
just... It's,
well, omit it?
Well, no, but I mean, if you're the kind of person who would do that, you know it. There's just... But unless you do it... Like, if you do that every year, like three times a year, or you're a skydiver, you should probably admit that to them. I'm just saying... But if it's something you've done occasionally in your life, but you don't do it all the time,
you don't need to mention it.
You don't need to mention it.
No, and I do agree with that. But isn't that kind of silly? I understand that these insurance companies have to make money, but isn't it kind of ridiculous that the whole purpose of life insurance is to have a plan in place for your family if something were to happen, so that you can do the things in part that you love?
Stupid.
Yeah, but isn't that kind of ridiculous? Like, you're paying money for life insurance, and they say because you do this once a year, we're denying you coverage.
Well, the actuarials would say because you live in Southern California, the risk of your house burning to the ground is much higher than we want to take that risk. So we're no longer going to insure people that live there. I mean, that's what their job is.
Yeah, and all the restrictions and regulations
money,
California put in place.
Yeah, if they're not making money, they can't pay out all of the policies. That's what it gets down to. I don't know how anybody in California, in Southern California, ever gets insurance again. I don't know who would take that risk. This is going to be billions of dollars, billions and billions of dollars to replace some of those homes and some of the damage down there. I heard yesterday, and I know we need to get to a break here, Carl. I heard yesterday that the insurance that's offered by the state of California, you know how much money they have in the fund to pay out claims? Like $350 million. That might cover 60 or 70 of those homes. And then what do you do with the rest of them? There are 12,000 homes burned. They're going to come to the federal government to bail them out for that mess out there.
Yep.
And in large part, they have nobody to blame but themselves for their forestry management and their water management and all of the other risks that went into this. And it's a shame for the good folks that live out there.
Get more at 971talk.com.